100-word stories.
Put down that vodka. Your elephant's already frozen. And welcome to the 100-word stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. I swore an oath to write a 100-word story every day until the day I die. I'm not dead yet, and neither are you. Let's write and share. Because today is Sunday, and it's your turn. I call this the weekly challenge, where I post the topic and you come up with the stories. The topic this week was pudding. We've got a lot of stories this week, so let's go ahead and get right to it. First up, we have a new challenger to this weekly challenge thing, and that's Secret Rage. What's her rage? No, she told me, and she told me to keep it a secret. This isn't the Secrets podcast, you know. Second Life. Secrets. Nah, that would be stupid. Oh well, let's go ahead and share Secret Rage's story. She walked to the pantry, lifted the small box from the shelf, and prepared it just as directed. As it cooled, she noted both its consistency, thickening nicely, and color, is vanilla color, and thought that without tasting or smelling it, how would a person know what it was? It could be anything. And if its origin was unknown, and if she named it something else, either mundane or exotic, would it matter? Would that make it more or less likely to be consumed? Then names it paste, just to see. Thank you, Secret Rage. And be sure to keep coming back and sending stories over and over and over, because, well, we like you. Speaking of people we like Vincent. He sent in a story, too. I suppose I'm going to have to read this one, too, in a really bad accent. Like the one you're hearing now. Well, all right, let me go ahead and read Vincent's story for you. I hope I don't screw it up. There's a lot. I drank the rest of the Baileys and a little bit of coffee. Guess what I asked Santa for? That's right. For him to stop molesting me.
The proof is in the pudding. Bradley Davidson stood with his back against the wall, wielding a black pudding in the shape of a truncheon in his raised hand. "You bastards," he shouted. "You're not fucking putting me back." Prosecutor Richardson kept silent. He could see the guy had backed himself into a corner with nowhere to go. "Mr. Bradley," the judge said, "put down the weapon." Richardson, beginning to look over at the judge, turned to face Davidson. The dumb fuck, he could see Davidson was going to throw the black pudding across the courtroom. Then what? Richardson guessed he hadn't figured that part out.
Yep, another bad accent. But a great story. Now I feel like having a black pudding. Yummy. If a kitty... No. Those are made with kitty cats, aren't they? We got two baby panthers. And 98 problems are... whatever. I can't do song-based memes. I'm stuck in the era of Fleetwood Mac. All right? Everything's goddamn Eagles and Fleetwood Mac. Oh, and the Police. And... no, not warrant. Stop it, Muncie. All right, let's see. Let's keep going here with Jeffrey Fisher. Oh, he says the B word. This is going to be fun.
Jeffrey Fisher here with my entry for this week's 100-word stories weekly challenge on the subject of pudding. I find pudding a very difficult subject to write about, and for some reason, and the word reminds me of the bit in Pink Floyd's The Wall, where the woman yells at the school children that they can't have any pudding until they eat their meat. but I couldn't write a story about that. So instead, I wrote the following story. Dinner time. For people of a certain age, Jell-O pudding means Bill Cosby, eating the smooth concoction and pretending it's the best thing in the world, delivering the ad copy in his Cliff Huxtable shtick. Others might be reminded of childhood, when Mom didn't feel like making a real dessert, and instead reached for Mother's Little Helper. Not the pills the Rolling Stones sang about, but the cheap and convenient little box on the shelf that could make whiny children quiet for a short time. For me, though, Jell-O pudding is hospitals. The smell of sickness and bleach. Elderly relatives sitting up in bed, fear written on their faces that this time, this hospital stay, may be the last. I hate Jell-O pudding.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Why are you choosing the sickness and bleach flavor of Jell-O? That's just wrong. I mean, you thought it was lime because it was, you know, green, but... ugh. That's just... you're a very sick individual. And that's why we like you. Speaking of people that we like, it's someone new. Well, new to this podcast. It's Rosie. She does a lot of stuff with... hold on, wait. I do hate the sound of my voice, but I will make a recording anyway to follow having mic issues tonight. Nope, she never sent it. Plus, I'm not making a recording if the text doesn't pass muster, so she'd give you... no, the text passed muster. I have lots of people who are experts in muster, and they said this most mustard. Not mustard, as in mustard. Ooh, have we done the topic of mustard? Oh, there's a great Beware the Hairy Mango about mustard. Oh, it is my favorite. Yeah, I know, I'm plugging other podcasts and not yours, because I'm a jerk. But man, Beware the Hairy Mango had a good one this week. All right. Okay, so where was I? Oh, yeah, this podcast. It's already ruined. It's Rosie Vincent and her story. She doesn't want to make a complete idiot out of herself. So she makes me do that. Oh, well, par for the course. I hated London. I mean, it's never actually done anything to me. It just seems so big, so impersonal, so noisy, isolating, hostile almost. Anyway, I had to travel there for work, convinced I would be mugged or worse. I survived, almost unscathed. The worst thing that happened to me was having a fancy restaurant's waiter spill the teensiest dribble of coffee on my sleeve. He brought me, gratis, the most amazing creme brulee, by way of apology. When I looked up, surprised, he only smiled at me and said, "Pudding on the Ritz." London's not so bad, after all. Thank you, Rosie, and believe me, you could have done better than that. I just totally butchered that one. I mean, my God, I sound like a monkey licking its own... well, wait, can a monkey bend that way? Oh, monkey was the last topic. I'm not going to go there. But anyway, thank you for coming, and please come back. And I know you're scratching this off your bucket list. It's a big bucket. You can have like, oh, I participated. How about on your bucket list, scratch off, participate in the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge, and instead put in there, participate in the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge from now on. Oh, wait, you could have just written from now on after that. This shows you how awful a writer I am. No, wait, I'm an awful editor. I'm a good writer. I'm just an awful editor. My inner grammar Nazi goes, "Hey!" Okay. Who's next? Sarah! Serendipity! Serendipity! I'm a lousy singer, too. All right, Sarah, let's see what, hold on, you got a message for me? Either the weeks are getting shorter or my memory is, how can it be nearly the weekend again? That's because our brains are slowing down, and so time is speeding up. Don't you get it? That's why Einstein never had time to comb his hair. Oh, here's, Here's Serendipity.
Daisy wasn't a great cook, but she always tried hard at Christmas. Last year, she excelled herself. Last-minute grocery shopping was a mistake. Unable to find ingredients, she improvised, substituting baby food and food coloring for cranberry sauce wasn't her best idea. Neither was the improvised turkey stuffing of crushed biscuits and banana. But where she really triumphed was the pudding. The size of a basketball, it defied all attempts to light it. And with hindsight, resorting to lighter fluid was rather foolish. As was the brandy-soaked paper money she'd hidden inside. Our eyebrows grew back by Easter.
No, don't let them grow back. I like you just the way you are. Hi, everybody. Thank you, Serendipity. Maybe I should edit that out. What? Lizzie Goodcough? But I thought Lizzie was writing so many things over the place that she didn't have time for this anymore. She has time for this? Oh, I feel so grateful. Oh, my God. See, I don't have time to do all those dashes. And I barely have time to write. I'm writing stuff on Easy Apache and editing it. And then I wrote something on InnoDB, how to change that back to my ISAM. And then what else did I do? I did a real quick one. I think it was my DNS, how to change that to bind or the other way around. And oh my God, but I love it. That's the fun part. I love doing this, and there are good people that I work with, and we're like the cool kids. I know one day it'll come to the end and they'll say, "We're replacing you with robots. We're going to have robots write this. Come here, robot. No, put that laser gun down. Here's a pen." Actually, the CEO does not sound like that. Although he probably could. But no, he's a good guy. Everybody's good. I like it there. Yes, I did... What? They have Kool-Aid in the fridge. Well, actually, it's little juicy boxes. But it... Huh? Oh, get back to the podcast? Okay, I'm sorry. My producer was telling me to get back to the podcast. So, Lizzie Goodcough? She's going to tell you there are so many ways to get in touch with her. I want everyone to get in touch with her. Do it. Do it. Say hi. Say, oh, that was good. Put in the comments and say, hi, Lizzie. Or, you know, the Twitter or her blog or all of it. Just do it, man. I mean, I'll talk about that later. Here's Lizzie.
No. Why not? It tastes bad. You haven't tried it. I have. Not this one. Is it any different? No? Well, I'll eat it. Be my guest. Fast forward to an hour later. How is he doing, Doctor? Stable, but we are very concerned. Tell me, what did he eat? Pudding. It must have been bad already. No. No? No. I added some arsenic to it. Why would you do that? Asked the doctor, alarmed, running back into the ER. I told him to buy sweet rice so many times, he thought. It was 8 p.m. Great. The supermarket is still open. And this was my story for the week. Check my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You know, supermarket. I don't like the word supermarket. I just call them market. And also, when I go grocery shopping, I have kryptonite in my pants. That way, any supermarket is rendered weak and helpless and... Oh, wait. That's how I broke my elbow. Thank you, Lizzie. And remember, folks, get in touch with her right now. I don't care what you're doing. Unless you're on a bicycle with groceries. Okay, yeah, that joke has played itself out completely. No more. I should probably, while I'm doing this, get the What are you doing under the sofa? I just reached for a 5-pound weight, and I got a handful of cat. Mist is such a weirdo. You should be in my lap. Yes, you should. Are you still under there? Oh, no, I see your nose. Okay. It's kind of dark in here, and so it's hard to see a black cat. So, both of them are. I know that Bruin's on the bed, up against his mommy, so he is such a suck-up. Speaking of suck-ups, I know someone who has never sucked up in his life, a man who has too much pride to do so, and that is Tom. He doesn't have any updates this week, by the way, so hopefully you're keeping score on your own, and then you can check notes and, no, there are 3,273 stories, and that kind of thing. That's a lot of stories. I'm sure there's a Guinness Book record somewhere. And then, you know, Muncie would probably just overnight go, ha! I wrote 4,000! Ha 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 ha! Funkmasters! I hate Norm Sherman. Oh, what was that? Tom? Oh, okay, here we go. Here's Tom.
Hello, Night People. Tom here. And tonight's story is Take the Chair. I'm a candidate for the Locution Chair. But my work of late has taken on a tacit fuzziness that may well be my undoing. As I drop through the last ring of mathematic molasses, I remember what my dear old mum used to say. The proof is in the pudding. As fate would have it, it was indeed while watching a Bill Cosby Jell-O commercial that the final tumbler in the galactic clock clicked and the central proof tumbled out. The solution to a fourth degree equation is in fact approximately the surface of a Jell-O pudding pop. Thanks, Mom.
Thank you, Tom. If there's one thing I've always said, early Sunday morning is the perfect time to do advanced math. What? I haven't always said that? Oh, Lord. I should probably write that down. Coffee, coffee, coffee. I probably need to refresh that, but not with more Baileys, because I'm out. I don't get any more Baileys until Christmas time. My wife was like, what do you want for Christmas? Over and over and over again. I said, sunglasses, new shoes, and it's like, no, those don't count. I'm too practical, which is why I said, oh, Bailey's and Jack Daniels. I'm supposed to be sleeping with that white brace on. Fuck no. I can barely sleep as it is. I know it's not just, you know, shooting awful, horrible pain, because I'm past that. I barely take painkillers at all now. But it's just... I don't know, I don't sleep right. So, of course, I need the Jack Daniels and the Baileys. Maybe I should start abusing drugs. Any suggestions on some drugs I should abuse to get more sleep? From experience? Or are you asleep by now?
Yeah, I listen to your podcast, and that totally puts me to sleep.
Yeah, thank you. Let's see. So we did Tom. So it's time for Uncle Monster, Cliff. So, oh Lord, there's a reference to Warrant in here. What is it with Warrant?
I signed up for a class called Cooking to the Oldies. We learned to make several desserts inspired by song titles. There was Warrant's Cherry Pie, the Beatles' Savoy Truffle, and some non-alcoholic watermelon wine inspired by Tom T. Hall. Our final test was to devise our own musically inspired dessert. I've always loved how salty and sweet flavors complement each other and taste so good, so I whipped up a batch of butterscotch pudding and dropped a dollop of it on a couple dozen crackers. The instructor just rolled her eyes when I presented my pudding on the Ritz.
Boo! I think that's the first time I've ever booed a story. No, okay, thank you, Cliff. That Okay, that's a bad pun. Pudding on the Ritz. Now he's going to, like, write me, how could you be so cruel, booing me? It's easy to do. Just, you know, open your mouth and say boo. No. What? Oh, now my producer is telling me to edit that out. No! Boo on you! Boo on everybody. It's Halloween. Boo! Bah humbug! Ooh. I should make the next topic humbug. No, the next topic we've already chosen. This is what happens. Thank goodness that I do this year in, year out, and I can pick topics like, oh, choose that person's topic. Although, I know, when all of you look at the topics and say, wait, I didn't choose that. And you yawn, and, no, really, I yawned. Just, I'm doing this way too early again. I should go back to sleep. Right, it's 7? Okay, I'll keep going. In fact, you know what's a great way to wake up? Muncie. Muncie in your cup. Let's see if he remembers to call us Funk Masters. I hope he does, otherwise I'm going to look like an idiot.
Oh, good God, Funk Masters. Please, please stop tasering me. I know I made amusing reference to shocking the Munzee in last week's story, but seriously, the tasering has gotten out of hand. I'm having heart palpitations, and I can't stop twitching. The human body was not designed to withstand the full strength of a taser with this kind of frequency. So please, I'm begging you, stop it. I don't know how much longer I can last. Anyway, here's a story, I guess. Pudding Cups by Chris Monroe. I recently received a frequent shopper gift coupon in the mail, offering double air miles, and regular double air miles day was only a few days off. So that's quadruple, right? Right. So I went to Safeway and found something that both A, was on sale, and B, offered 100 bonus air miles per unit. In this case, pudding cups. 3 for $2. And now I'm going to Vegas. $110 for a week there, hotel included. It's going to be a blast. Anyway, do you want 70 pounds of pudding or not? Taser my book, Broken Escalator, wherever ebooks are sold, or taser me on Twitter at Munzee Munzee. But seriously, in real life, don't taser me. It hurts so bad.
Okay, let's see. There's the Terminator 7.8 million stun gun and LED. Ooh, it's an LED flashlight, too. And it's for $9.99 in sports and outdoors. That would be kind of embarrassing, hitting the taser button instead of the LED flashlight. Oh, I don't know. Where's the cat? Okay. Oh, they have it in pink, too. Guard dog security, 160 lumen tactical flashlight with stun gun. Yeah, that's kind of fun. It looks like a lightsaber. The Saber red compact pepper spray. I don't want pepper spray. A Walther CP99 replica BB gun. Well, what the hell does that have to do with the taser? Screw that. The Maxim stun gun with light and I may get that. That could be fun. You know, nice to meet you. It could be good at conferences. Probably cheaper than, well, what? Oh, the podcast is on? Oh, all right. Thank you, Muncie. Stop twitching. Speaking of twitching, I need more coffee. All right. I know someone who's all calm and cool and collected and doesn't own a stun gun at all. He stuns you with his charm. It is Zachman. You're supposed to say something, Zachman. What? No. All right, I'll play the story.
Are you done putting Mr. Wilson in the van? Say, Guido, didn't the boss say boil him in oil? How much eggnog did you drink tonight? That was from the Christmas movie we watched. Our boss isn't such a Scrooge. Don't worry. Since you're my favorite cousin, I did as you directed. Guido steps into the van. A man is sitting in a big plastic tub, neck deep in pudding. You have some information you will give us, or Nunzio fills this above your head. Tell us, forget us, and live, or become the corpse known as Puddinhead Wilson.
Thank you, Zach, man. I'm just looking around the web here, and so up at Yankee Candle, their limited-time collection of My Favorite Things, inspired by the Sound of Music, six seasonal fragrances inspired by the nostalgic favorites in the song My Favorite Things. Okay, they've got Whiskers on Kittens, brown paper packages. You know, nothing says Christmas like a cat on fire and a package of dog poop on your doorstep on fire. Edelweiss, okay. Schnitzel with noodles, so your dinner's on fire. Bright copper kettles, wow, you really are a lousy cook. Crisp apple strudel burning in your oven. Warm woolen mittens, you know, you're trying to put out the fire and you're smacking it with your mittens and that's on fire. This is just wrong. This is truly, truly wrong. This isn't a holiday tradition. This is arson. yeah. Let's move on to the next stories, which are by Sing. So, time for your audio adventure. Put on your jungle caps, folks. It's story time.
Take five strangers. Ask each to throw a dinner party. Mix things up with some secret scoring for a 1,000 euro prize, and you have a recipe for disaster. Yes, it's been a week of cat poo in Deborah's kitty litter, stinking out the dining room, Grandma Sheila's weird robotic after-dinner dancing, a scary encounter with Timothy's pet python crawling across the table only to defecate chicken curry on the crisp linen, and sleazy comments by Javier, the alpha male of the bunch, saying things like, "You've such beautiful come-to-bed eyes," which Ruby has finally succumbed to. Welcome to Dinner Party Wars. This week's four strangers had battled hard, but there wasn't protection for tomorrow's hostess Ruby from front runner Javier, as both coupled on his drunken couch. The cameras and everyone had departed. Arriving early next evening, Javier soon spread-eagled the lady on her kitchen table. Ruby grunted, "Oh, you delicious man," and then left to shower. Seeing his chance, Javier stirred something into her pudding mix.
"Ruby, I'm starting your steamer. You're such a darling,"
she yelled underwater, thinking of money and her new boyfriend. Her buttock prints in the sprinkled flour made him smile before rubbing out their evidence with his hand. The camera crew was surprised to see Javier on the living room couch. He greeted them and tried to make conversation.
"I realize you have a lot on your plate, filming and producing these TV shows night after night."
"You're right there, Gov," said the man with headphones, waving about his boom pole.
"We get in a lot of hot and bother by Friday. Five bloody tapings. Had to come in earlier, we did, you know, to fix the hidden cameras."
The pot bellied saboteur got that sinking feeling in the pit of his middle-aged paunch. How exactly would this turn out? Eyeing the prize, Ruby thought a movie character theme would give her the fun edge. Deborah was a chubby fairy godmother. Timothy came as a skinny Tarzan in leopard briefs and python around his neck. Grandma Sheila dressed as a geriatric Michael Jackson, right down to fedora, socks, and sequined glove. Javier was Zorro with mask and cape, while Ruby emerged from the cocoon of her bedroom as a bulging plum version of Marilyn Monroe. She tidied up her place with lit candles and forced wine and canapes upon each guest as they came through the door, her secret of power hosting. According to the show format, a good portion was spent in the kitchen, turning home cooks into celebrity chefs. The camera zoomed in on each step of her entree, Oysters Kilpatrick, each plated with its little bacon curl on top. Then they cut to the dinner guests' reactions. Wow, these are so yummy. Then back to the kitchen for the main course, which was roast Cape goose with applesauce and Thai rice stuffing. This last episode of Dinner Party Wars was proving to be everything the producer had hoped for, but none were quite ready for what was coming. Feeling confident and smelling victory, Ruby played perfect hostess all night. Then portly Deborah, the low scorer from Monday, giggled.
Being overweight sort of snacks up on you, doesn't it?
Tucking straight into more goose meat. Ruby took this as her cue to tell the joke she had earlier researched online. What are the four food groups? After much guessing, she fed them the answer. Pizza, coffee, chocolate, and sex. They exploded into paroxysms of tipsy laughter, while she looked knowingly at Javier sharing their secret moment. Unaware, he was smiling for another reason. Yes, the time for dessert had come. Once bowls, spoons, and jugs of cream were set, and lights doused for dramatic effect, Ruby brought in the plum pudding on a platter, placed it center, pouring on the brandy. It was a pièce de résistance. Then she lit it. The thing flambéed perfectly, giving off luminous flames worthy of St. Elmo's fire.
Bravo.
They applauded as she set her fork and spoon into the pudding's heart. But as she lifted, up came the special surprise. Everyone shrieked, except Javier. Dangling offensively was his used condom, knotted at one end. Seeing a huge spike in ratings, the producer kept on filming.
Thank you, Sing. But sadly, there was no Honey Boo Boo involved, and your show was canceled. I'm sorry. I really am. The Storage Wars thing? The dude that was fired from the show says it was all fake? No! Really? It was all fake and staged? No! That's impossible! Duh! Everything on TV is fake. Even the TV is fake. You know those TVs at IKEA? The plastic ones or the fake ones that they use for the displays? Yeah. We have one of those. You know, we never have any problems with it. We just have to keep it well dusted. Speaking of dust, let us cast free the dust from these sheets and raise a glass to, well, Bonchance and Sevi. I mean, come on. They do this every week. They're collaborators. But collaborators in a good way, not collaborators with the enemy. So, although to someone, they're probably the enemy. Here's Bonchance and Sevi. They've got a few stories. Ooh, one's a Pablo story. Woof!
Crap Mariners, 100 word challenge. This week's challenge word is pudding. We have three stories written in collaboration with Severina Halostar, Bonchance Longfall. We have a blog. The site is novavox.wordpress.com. Come out and visit. Pudding, three stories. Hero. Good gracious, Mistress has been captured by the evil savages. Who knows what wicked intentions they have in store for her? Lambchop to the rescue. Lammy rides his gigantic, daunting Pterosaurus, Puddin, into the savages' village, scaring them away. Lammy slides down his back and releases Mistress from her bonds. He beckons his flying pet Pterosaurus with his secret call. Sorry glides down to them as Puddin keeps the savages at bay with his scary screams. Quickly, Lammy and Mistress jump on to pet Pterosaurus and fly away. Sevi smiled as she watched her Lammy sleep, his hooves waving as he dreamed. Coffee and tea. I have made a life-altering change. For the past few months, I made the switch from drinking a mug of coffee to a cup of tea. It's awesome to sit back with the chalice of the good old black stuff and reflect. Yeah, the memories just unfold as you slurp and sip. How do I take it? With just a drizzle of honey to mellow the bitter edge. I don't like it. Too sickly sweet. Come to think of it now, I guess my tea, and also memories, have a propensity toward the bittersweet. Maybe I'll just switch to pudding. And the third story is Pudding, a Pablo story. Pablo had grounded Pepe after the misunderstanding with the chairman. He was only allowed to roam within 100 feet of the house. His leash was attached to the chain-link fence. It seemed impossible to break free. Pepe racked his brain trying to find a way out of his predicament. Andre, the armorer who made chainmail fetish clothing, lived across the road. He could use this strong chain and make a mint. Andre had a weird obsession, and Pepe knew how to get him over to negotiate. Pepe put a bowl of lemon pudding out on the lawn and waited.
They have a blog. They have a blog. They have a blog. Oh, wait, what's the third? Ah! Actually, that's supposed to end like the Three Stooges. Thank you, Bonchance and Sevi. Here's another of the cool kids. It's Red Goddess. I get to read it for her because, of course, Brokaley hasn't. Well, here's the story. It's been a while since Lola has seen her special guy. She's not ready to take their friendship to the next level. For now, he's just the guy who makes her rethink her needs versus wants. How do you avoid someone who sends you romantic notes with vintage white roses? The latest card reads, "One rose for every day I'm deprived of your beauty." Lola is touched, but hides her emotions well. She has no time to deal with her angst when she's swamped with planning a fancy birthday bash for the hotel owner. She has to import his wife's favorite French pudding, among other exotic delicacies. This is the kind of opportunity that can jeopardize her livelihood or gives her leverage for a promotion. When you live paycheck to paycheck, any sneaky life event can hang you at the edge of the economic cliff. When will Lola ever win? I hope she does. Thank you, Red Goddess, for sharing Lola's adventures with us. One day, just like Charlie Brown, she'll win. She'll kick that football. Is there a football involved? Oh, no. By the way, the physical cliff is not Cliff Uncle Monster. I just want to tell you that. So stop sending him hate mail. Well, about the physical cliff. You can send him hate mail all you want. Cliff, your stories are so great. I hate you. I'm jealous. I get those all the time. Wait, no, they just say they hate me. I feel bad now. Oh, if only there were something to cheer me up. Wait, Steven the Nuclear Man got his voice back. Yay! Oh, we're saved. Christmas is saved. This isn't the fucking Lifetime channel. Just, where's Valerie Bertinelli when you need her? Here's Steven the Nuclear Man is played by Valerie Bertinelli. At least it's not Catherine Bell. Oh my God, I'm so sick of her.
Steven the Nuclear Man here, finally able to speak after all that bronchitis. Don't forget the Spec the Halls thing is going on. I'll be posting some more stories, hopefully the same day this goes up. Share your stories, help some folks out, and generally do the Christmassy holiday sort of thing. Now, on for today's story. His heart slipped with every beat, sliding in his chest, tripping over ribs like they were coated in ice. She slid one fingernail through the tape, glanced up at him. Beat. Slip. She folded the paper back. His heart slid with a disturbing liquidity, trading places with his stomach as she exposed the small, velvet-colored box. She glanced up again. It was the worst idea, worst present ever. He knew it, finally knew it. But the box was open. She looked at the ring, at him. He tried to ask. Heart flopping, sliding inside, throat tightening. She answered.
Wait, what was her answer? What was her answer? Tell us! You're not going to tell us, are you? You son of a bitch. How could you? You're leaving us hanging on the line. Maybe you'll give us the answer next week when that... No, I can't reveal the topic just yet. I'm just confused now. I don't know what to think. There's only one person that can set things right. And that's Norval Joe. Norval Joe... I know this is a great price to pay, but you know the price of friendship. Please, give us some insight. What was her answer? I know what her answer was. She played the harmonica.
Hello, this is Philip, not feeling too funky today, Carol, of the Flying Island Press and of The Price of Friendship, available at audiobooks.com. Here's my submission for the weekly challenge number 347 with prompt of pudding. Sharika cast her dim light toward the water creature. Halfway to the monster, the ball hung in the air, flaring into brilliance. With a putrid hiss, it reared back and clawed at its eyes. Shaking its head back and forth, it bellowed in pain. Owen backed up to where Flindert worked at the lock, and Spleen fell to the cavern floor and quivered like a bowl of pudding. The elf prince took something from a pouch at his belt and asked Flindert, "May I have a try?" Inserting a green glowing pin into the lock, the latch fell away. And wait, there's more. When Gilbert first met Millicent, he thought her British accent was sexy and her expressions were cute. They dated and quickly married. Some characteristics were annoying. She called any kind of dessert pudding. "Pudding is warm and brown and squishy," he ranted at her. To top it off, she had named her dim-witted wiener dog Pudding because that's all he ever ate. When Millicent finally left Gilbert, she left the wiener dog with him. He knew that Pudding hated him for it, because every night the wiener dog would leave Gilbert a little pile of pudding on his bed. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
You know, just as... I can't remember who. Oh, Ray Bradbury. Just as Ray Bradbury was known for the Martian Chronicles, you will be known for the Wiener Dog Chronicles. It's just sad. Oh, thank you, Norval Joe. You know, that did not answer Stephen Sauce's question whatsoever. What is the answer? Maybe we've got one more chance. Tura will have the answer. Okay. All right, here's the microphone. Here's your script. And, yeah, here's a bowl of M&Ms. We took out all the blue ones. We read all the riders. God, you people sometimes. All right, here. All right, okay. And action.
You vampires try to keep a low profile these days. World's too crowded to just kill someone every time you get hungry. Animal blood's even harder to get. So what's the answer? Black pudding, right? It's pig scab, with fat mixed in to keep it soft. I'm a butcher, see, and I noticed you buy a lot. Not feeling too well, are you? I made some special ones, just for you, with silver salts cooked in. Found out where you lived, waited till you got poorly. This silver cleaver will have your head off and heart out in no time.
Yay! We love it when sparkly vampires bite the dust. Although this probably explains why they're sparkly. They have silver salts cooked in their black puddings. They still look kind of freaky, though. Oh, thank you, Tura. So we now have the answer to why all the vampires in Twilight sparkle. But we don't have the answer to whether she said yes or no, or got up and ran off crying. I'm just so confused. I hate being left out on the limb. Oh well. At least we'll find out next week, right? Right? Oh, I don't know. Well, we've got one more story left, and you know who it's by. I hate to be such a downer, but that's what Planet Z does.
There are four ways to buy pudding at the grocery store. Individual servings and cups from the refrigerated section. Boxes of instant powder mix that you can shake or stir up. Boxes of powder mix on the stove. And cans of pre-made pudding. I put them all in bowls, blindfolded my friend Steve, and asked him which kind tastes the best. "Wait until you've had all of them before responding," I said. After tasting all four, he said they all tasted awful. "They're all butterscotch," he said. "I hate butterscotch." I grumbled and went back to the store for chocolate.
Thank you to everyone who is a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com for links to the authors' websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options. You can Google Plus this or Facebookify or Pinterest it or whatever the hell the social network of the week is. I can't keep up. And a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway. Until next week, when the topic will be funk. This is Lauren Simon saying thank you for listening. And, as always, keep it brief.